We're pleased to be welcomed by Bill Bender of Sporting News. And Bill, what are your thoughts on seeing fans at football games this fall?
I think the 50% number would be probably the sweet spot if we can actually get fans in. I know there are a lot of fan concerns about COVID tests. You mentioned all who's getting those tickets. Is it the season ticket holders? How many students are going to be let in? And there's a lot to go with that, but you know, all things are trending in the right direction. I think at the end of the day, we'll probably have some measure of fans in the stands if they can get the proper testing done.
Myself, personally, I'm just worried about tailgating. Like, please just let people tailgate, because that's one of the most fun aspects of college football. I know that might be selfish, but my family really enjoys it.
I think we all do. I mean, that's part of the scene and the pageantry of college football. I mean, college football might be affected by this the most, Heather, just from the standpoint, you know, a professional game, yeah, there's tailgating and those kind of things, but it's a pretty corporate atmosphere. There's no atmosphere quite like college football. Been fortunate enough to be to some games down there at Tennessee, and that's a spectacle that's as good as any. And to not have that across 130 college campuses would be a bad thing.
Bill, we've lost a couple of legendary coaches here this week. Obviously, Johnny Majors that we've been reacting to today. Earlier, Pat Dye from Auburn, and it's interesting that those two had the rivalry that they did. Just give me a quick thought on those two legendary coaches in the SEC and beyond.
Well, I mean, I grew up in Big Ten country, right? So to us growing up, the SEC wasn't what it is today. And I'm not insulting the SEC at all. I'm just saying the sport back in the 80s was probably more regionalized than it is now. So guys like Johnny Majors and Pat Dye, they stuck out. The fact that I knew who they were, that I knew, you know, they had that big rivalry, that, you know, the SEC championships he won, what Pat Dye did for the Iron Bowl, that shows how iconic those two were. And to lose those two in the same week is just awful. And you read and hear stories about them and what they meant to their programs. As for Majors, I'm trying to think of a coach that means as much to two programs as he does. He won that national title at Pitt and then did everything he did for Tennessee. I think the best modern-day example I can find of that might be Mack Brown.
Oh, that's interesting. What draws you to that comparison? What do you think are the similarities there?
Well, I mean, nice guys, obviously. Mack Brown's one of the nice guys in the sport, obviously, and he's doing well at North Carolina. I mean, the fact that Majors won the national championship at Pitt, and that's a team that's still very celebrated. And then he goes to Tennessee and what he's done for that university, kind of a figurehead. And, you know, not to keep harping on the 80s, but a lot of these guys, like Majors set the stage for Fulmer, much like a Bo Schembechler set the stage for Lloyd Carr and everything that follows there. You could say the same about Woody Hayes at Ohio State, Pat Dye at Auburn. Like I said, interesting stat about him. I looked this up. So if you take 1980 to the present day, the year before Dye got to Auburn, Auburn and Alabama are tied at 20-20. Before that, it was all Bear Bryant. So, I mean, that's the impact he had on that program.
Yeah, and then I guess doing it at two different programs as well, North Carolina and Texas as well. That's part of that comparison, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mack's done a great job in North Carolina, and now he's doing it again. You know, I mean, some of the teams that are really tearing it up on the recruiting trail right now, C1, North Carolina, USC's having a good week, and these are programs that have kind of tried to find their place in recent seasons, Tennessee and USC in particular, and I think that recruiting is going to show up. You know, that's why you guys are a little more excited about football down there than, at least I'm detecting that, than you have in recent seasons, and I think it's because some of the work on the recruiting trail that Jeremy Pruitt has done.
Yeah, Bill, I don't know if it's the coronavirus impact and the fact that we're just all wanting real sports to get back so badly, or because of that recruiting prowess. I mean, we have Vol fans that are watching video game simulations of Tennessee, like competing for a national title, and people are eating it up. I mean, they are just starved right now for football season to roll around.
I think we all are. I mean, you can only watch so many old games. I mean, there's been some good ones on. For me, it's been a process, you know, just trying to come up with content along the way. I mean, The Last Dance was a nice save for all of us because I got a lot of much content out of that. But, I mean, everybody's beginning slowly. I've been telling people here in Ohio, we started the youth baseball thing, and you know, the hard part here, and it kind of translates to college football for me, coaching 9-year-olds, I like giving kids high fives. I like hugging kids, and you can't do it. And it's really hard. And I was thinking about it, like, so Tennessee scores a touchdown on the opening drive. Are they allowed to hug each other? What happens next? And I think these are kind of just weird questions that lead me to believe we still have a long way to go to get there, but I think we're headed in the right direction.
Well, maybe that elbow thing where you're bumping elbows now will catch on, although that could lead to more problems. Who knows? Bill Bender from Sporting News joining us right now. Bill, we've seen a lot of preseason predictions come out. I know some different publications have put theirs out. When you're looking at Tennessee going into year number three with Jeremy Pruitt, I know it's been a kooky offseason. I think the safe pick for the Vols, and the majority of people are going to pick 8-4. If you were going to lean one way or another, would you lean more towards a 9-3 year for Jeremy Pruitt or a 7-5 if I took 8-4 off the table?
Probably, I would probably go the max route and say they go get 9 somehow and maybe beat Florida or Georgia along the way. Because that's what they're going to have to do. I mean, it comes down to Florida, Georgia, Alabama. Three games that they've struggled with, three programs that they measure themselves against. And, I mean, for these expectations to become real, you've got to start beating those three. And I think Tennessee is going to be a pretty consensus pick to finish third in the East, maybe fourth if you want to put Kentucky ahead of them. But I think for Tennessee to accomplish those goals, they've got to beat Kentucky, Vandy, South Carolina, and who am I leaving? Mizzou. I always leave out Mizzou. I apologize. But you got to sweep those and then do what you can in the crossovers. Take care of your non-con, and you can get to 8 or 9 wins.
Bill, is there a sleeper type of college football playoff pick that you would look at? Someone that, you know, we don't see there on a regular basis that you might have identified as someone that could kind of get into the mix?
Well, not really. That's the problem, Vince. I can't force the shot, right? Like,
right.
I there's some programs I'm watching that, you know, like a Penn State or Oregon or Florida. If Florida can finally beat Georgia, can they slip in maybe? I mean, those are three of the hot picks. A lot of people are on Oklahoma State and Arizona State. That's about as far off the radar as I would go. But I think if I absolutely had to go off the radar, it'd probably be Oklahoma State just because of the offense they return. You know, maybe they slip by Oklahoma and Texas and win the Big 12. And Mike Gundy's had some teams do that in the past, but it's really hard to put that on a Big 12 school, given how every year those schools typically lose one they shouldn't. And that's how you get yourself out of the playoffs.
Hey, you being in Ohio, Bill, the biggest thing is everybody is expecting now. It seems like there's a huge groundswell for Ryan Day to legitimately compete for a national championship this year. Can you feel that? And is that too soon? Is that too much of a lofty expectation on him in year two?
Not at all. I mean, last year was maybe their best team that I can remember in years. And, I mean, a lot of that was Urban, you know, and Urban's influence. But I think what he's done, Heather, is he's taken what Urban's done, kind of enhanced it in some ways. They're still recruiting at a very high level. I mean, a lot of Buckeye fans feel like they should have, would have, could have beat Clemson if not for some bad calls, and there's some validity to that. They'll be right back in the mix. I think the thing with the Big Ten is there is a huge separation from Ohio State and that next tier of the Michigan, Wisconsin, Penn State grouping. I don't see anybody else winning the Big Ten other than Ohio State, much like I don't see anybody else other than Clemson winning the ACC, and I think that's half your playoff field.
Bill, you guys did your predictions, your bowl predictions that are way too early, and you have Ohio State there in the national title against Clemson. What do you think about that matchup with Clemson having lost Justin Ross for the season?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough blow. I mean, did you think all of my bowl predictions were 100% right? Like, that's the 44 matchups. No questions asked. No, because people do they get fired up about them. I get so much hate mail for those. But, you know, I think Ohio State and Clemson, probably the odds-on favorite to get there. I mean, Alabama, good bet. They've got a ton of talent coming back. But they also, again, that's the trick with being Alabama. There's more playoff contenders in the SEC than any other conference. I mean, Georgia's playoff contender, Florida, Auburn, LSU. I mean, all of these schools are definitely playoff contenders, and it's going to make it tough for Alabama to get back.
Bill Bender,
Tennessee and Louisville in the Taxler Gator Bowl. Sorry, just wanted to put that out there.
That'd be a fun game if you had Tennessee playing Louisville and Scott Satterfield. Satterfield's done a nice job at Louisville, and that would be a step up for Tennessee as well. So if they get to that 9-win mark, they're probably going to be playing in one of those nationally televised bowls that we actually care about. Also, there's 44 bowl games on that schedule. That's some of the bowl names give me a headache just reading them out loud.
Yeah, and who knows if we'll even make it to bowl season, but I like the bold prediction. I feel like just putting those bowl predictions out was bold.
Yeah, I mean, again, yeah, there's so many. There is a chance with the way the world we live in now that some of those bowls don't happen, you know, and some of these lower group of five schools may not even be playing. You never know. So I don't think college football is going to look like what we typically expect out of it, but at the same time, I think we're going to have it in some form. There's too much momentum in that direction for me not to believe that. I'm just hoping they can get the logistics down of working out, making it safe, and, again, continuing to drop the COVID numbers, not to mention, you know, what we're dealing with in our country right now with some of the divide, the protests, and some horrible events that have happened in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I think everybody is just trying to manage everything right now and hoping that things just don't get any worse, because 2020, a tough year for a lot of people already.
Yeah, and well, football could be a great unifier for all of us. I always point back to, you know, probably the most significant event in my lifetime before the last couple months was definitely September 11th, and football was a big part of this country kind of unifying at the time. I remember the pageantry when the college football came back in the NFL, and, you know, we all talk about George Bush throwing that pitch at Yankee Stadium, and maybe college football plays a huge role in that, because nothing to me unifies people more than 100,000 people at Neyland or the Shoe or Big House and, you know, rooting for the sport that we all love.
Hey, Bill Bender of Sporting News, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We always appreciate it when you are able to hop on with us. Thank you.
Hey, no problem, guys. Take care. Be safe. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, you as well. Bill Bender from the Sporting News joining us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline.